Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm going to do verses 1 through 32, the entire chapter. I will call this chapter Rebuilding the Wall. Our context is this. In chapter 2, the last chapter, Nehemiah has come back from Susa in Persia, where he was serving as cupbearer to King Artaxerxes I, who ruled from 465 to 424 BC, and Nehemiah in 444 BC had come back to Jerusalem with the express purpose of rebuilding the walls. In our last chapter, he inspected the walls, taking a nighttime journey circuit around the walls. And now we will read here in Nehemiah 3 how he rebuilt the walls with a lot of help from his friends. Now, I'm going to say that this chapter can get very tedious very quickly. I'll try to make it somewhat interesting. I will also say that a lot of the gates and place names that are mentioned on the walls are lost to history, disputed, controverted. I'm going to basically use two maps. I'm going to show you the contradictions in the maps and then the rest of the gates and places on the walls that are in common we can take as fairly certain. So we start now in Nehemiah 3, verses 1 and 2. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priest began rebuilding the sheep gate. Now, this depiction of the rebuilding of the walls, I'm sure it was written by Nehemiah himself, and whoever wrote the book of Nehemiah, perhaps Ezra, incorporated the document. This is an official document, I'm sure. It gives a lot of credit to a lot of people that we don't care about anymore. It just basically describes the construction work. The construction started at the sheep gate, Nehemiah's description of it, started at the sheep gate, and he's going to take a circuit around the walls going in a counterclockwise direction. The sheep gate's at the northeastern corner. So that'll get us oriented a little bit as we move around the walls. So let me read verse 1 again. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priest began rebuilding the sheep gate. They dedicated it and installed its doors. After building the wall to the Tower of the Hundred and the Tower of Hananel, they dedicated it. The men of Jericho built next to Eliashib, and next to them Zachar, son of Imri, built. So what we're going to see here is that each section of the wall had a certain section of the Israelites assigned to the rebuilding. And we're going to see that a lot of people worked on this wall, and it's going to be done in 52 days. The only reason they got done in 52 days is there were so many different people working on it. Well, we start with the priest, the high priest, actually, and his fellow priest. They rebuilt the sheep gate, and then they dedicated it. Why was it called the sheep gate? Well, at the northeastern corner of the walled section of Jerusalem was Mount Moriah, and that's where the temple was, and the temple needed to have sheep to be sacrificed at the temple, and so the sheep were led through that sheep gate to the temple. The sheep gate is on the northern wall at the northeast corner. And Gill speculates that there was a sheep market nearby. That might be another reason why they call it the sheep market, not because of sacrificial sheep, but just because there was a market nearby. It could be. This sheep gate was close to the pool of Bethesda. We read in John 5, verse 2, by the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Hebrew, which has five colonnades. Famous pool. People getting healed there, if I remember correctly. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say that the pool of Bethesda was where the sheep were washed on their way to sacrifice. So the sheep came in through the sheep gate. They took a dip in the pool of Bethesda. Then they got sacrificed at the temple. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown also say the sheep gate was a common entrance into the temple. Well, who was in charge of building and dedicating the sheep gate? Eliashib. He is the high priest, and he is the grandson of Jeshua, also known as Joshua, who was the high priest that came over with Zerubbabel. Nehemiah 12:10, we see this genealogy. Jeshua fathered Joachim. Jeshua was the high priest under Zerubbabel, who came over in 538 BC. Remember, we are now 444 BC. Jeshua fathered Joachim. Joachim fathered Eliashib. So Jeshua, Joachim, Eliashib. So he's the grandson of the great high priest who was in Jerusalem. Now, I started out with a great deal of confidence telling you where the sheep gate was because my two maps agree with where it was. I think everybody does. But let me read you a word of warning from Adam Clark. Quote, all plans of Jerusalem, its temple, walls, and gates are mere works of conjecture. And yet how learnedly have some men written on all these subjects. So I'm going to tell you that a lot of this that we're going to discuss here in just a minute is speculative, but that's okay. we'll do the best we can. Now, I've got two maps that I'm going to work with, and what I'm going to do is show you the places or gates on these two maps that differ from one another. The first map is written by a man named Michael Sanders in 2001. The second map is a map that I got from Bible History Online. So I'll start with Michael Sanders' map. He's got at the very northeast corner of the future Fort Antonia or Antonia. I looked up how to pronounce Antonia or Antonia on the internet, and I got 50-50. So I'll call it Antonia. You can call it Antonia. It doesn't matter. I say tomato, you say tomata. But now why in the world Sanders puts the Temple Mount, Fort Antonia, at the northeast corner when most maps have the temple right in the middle of Mount Moriah here, the northeastern corner, and then Fort Antonia is at the northwestern corner of the wall that goes around the temple, which is not there. So that's the first discrepancy. All right, as we go, I'm going to go counterclockwise, going toward the west. Everything matches my other map until you get all the way down to the southwest corner. There's the Tower of the Ovens, according to Mr. Sanders. My other map has the Tower of the Ovens or the Tower of the Furnaces at a northwestern corner. I say a northwestern corner because that's another difference in the map. There's a jog in the wall giving two northwestern corners in my Bible History Online map. But anyway, the Tower of the Furnaces is at completely different corners of the map. Well, that's two differences. We move around along the southern wall, no problem. Get to the southeast corner, then go back north up the Kidron Valley, no problem. And then Michael Sanders has Solomon's Temple at the Watergate right there at the Spring of Gihon, the famous Gihon, the source of the water that goes through Hezekiah's famous tunnel, which I talked about at great length. Well, I thought Solomon's Temple was on Mount Moriah, which is to the north in the northeastern corner, so I'm not going to go with that. Keep going along Mr. Sanders' map, and we get to the northeast corner. On the eastern wall is the muster gate or the inspection gate. He calls it the muster gate. Well, my other Bible History Online map has the muster gate there at the northeastern corner, but just around the corner on the northern wall. Very close. That's not much difference. Well, that's actually not too much difference, actually, because there's a lot of other gates that match up exactly. Now, I go to Bible History Online. They've got at the northeastern corner something called the East Gate. Most people put that as the East Gate of the Temple, the rebuilt temple, not the East Gate of the Wall, so that's controversial. They've got something called the Chamber of the Corner at the northeast corner, which Nehemiah mentions. I think that's what I'm going to go with that because Nehemiah doesn't say anything about Fort Antonia being there at the northeast corner like Mr. Sanders does. I've already mentioned the Muster Gate. Bible History Online map has the Muster Gate on the northern wall right at the corner, whereas Michael Sanders has it at the eastern wall right on the corner. A minor difference. I've already mentioned the fact that the temple is on Mount Moriah on Bible History Online, whereas Michael Sanders has it way down south here, all the way past Ophel, right into the city of David, right across from the Watergate. And Bible History Online has a gate called the Mishnah Gate and the Throne of the Governor. That's not on Mr. Sanders' map. I really don't know what that is. And then Bible History Online has Tower of the Furnaces at a northwestern corner of the wall, whereas Michael Sanders' has it at the southwest corner. So you see there's a good bit of difference. But there's still a lot in common that everybody agrees with, so we can take heart in that. Now, going back to the Sheep Gate where we're starting, these priests not only built it, they dedicated it and installed its doors. Why would you dedicate a gate? Well, it was sanctified for sacred use. That was appropriate since sheep were going through that gate in order to be sacrificed. And it was priests that were rebuilding the gate. Perfect people to do it. All right, moving over to the next gate. In verse 1, we have the Tower of the Hundred. It's actually not a gate. I'm sorry, it's a tower. The other name for that is the Tower of Mia, or Samia. Some versions have it. Another name is Sakhra, S-A-K-H-R-A. We'll just call it the Tower of Mia. Some translations have it the Tower of the Hundred. Why is it called the Tower of a Hundred? Well, Gill speculates it's because there are 100 cubits from the Sheep Gate, As you move west, you go 100 cubits and you get to the Tower of Mia, the Tower of 100. Lots of translations, by the way, have Tower of Mia instead of Tower of 100. Tower of 100 is Holman Christian Study Bible. Tower of Mia is in the King James, the American Standard Version, the Bible in Basic English, and the Young's Literal Translation. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown speculate that maybe it wasn't a Tower of 100 at all. It could be translated as 100 cubits of the wall, so it's a 100-cubit wall rather than a 100-cubit tower. Verse 2, the men of Jericho built next to Eliashib. Eliashib, the high priest, of course, had rebuilt the sheep gate, so we're going next. We're going west. Next to them, Zachar, son of Imri, built. He was probably the leader of the men of Jericho. So the people of Jericho were responsible for what comes next. On the map, it's the Tower of Hananeel as we move west. We go to verse 3, the sons of Hassanah built the fish gate. The fish gate is going west from the Tower of Hananeel. Why was it called the fish gate? Gil speculates it's because the fish were brought from the Mediterranean Sea through that gate, and so they called it the fish gate. And probably a fish market was near the fish gate. Now verse 3 says the fish gate was built by the sons of Hassanah with beams, and the sons of Hassanah installed the fish gate's doors, bolts, and bars. Well, translation for bolts comes from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Other translations have locks. So if you'll think about the little receptacle that holds the bar that will swing up and down, and it when it swings down, it lands in the receptacle there to lock the gate, like ancient doors. I'm sure you've seen the movies. So the gate is built so that nobody can get into the city through the fish gate. Verse 4, next to them, next to the sons of Hassanah, were the Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakasp. He made repairs. Now, this Meremoth, he's well known. He's going to be assigned two sections of the wall. He was also the priest who helped count the money when Ezra brought a ton of silver and gold into the city from Babylon. We read in Ezra 8:33, on the fourth day, the silver, the gold, and the articles were weighed out in the house of our God, the temple, into the care of Meremoth the priest, son of Uriah. Same guy. This, of course, happened in 458 B.C. We're now at 444, so Meremoth is still around. The rest of these names that I've been mentioning, or nobody knows who they are, as John Gill says. I'm not going to spend time on that. I'll read them for you. Next to them, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakaz, made repairs. Beside them, Shulam, son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, son of Bana, made repairs. We go down to verse 5. Beside them, the Tekoites made repairs. Now, they're interesting. We're still on the northern wall there as we head west from the sheep gate. The Tekoites are from Tekoa. If you look at a map, you'll see Jerusalem. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south on the road from Jerusalem, and then there's a little branch road that goes from Jerusalem to the southeast. You go another 5 miles or so, and you hit Tekoa. You say, well, big deal. Well, Tekoa is famous because that's where our famous Amos the prophet was from. Amos 1:1, the words of Amos, who was one of the sheep breeders from Tekoa. Now, the Tekoites made repairs on the wall in verse 5, but verse 5 ends up by saying they're nobles did not lift a finger to help their supervisors. In other words, it sounds like some of the common people of Tekoa worked on the walls, but the big shots didn't help any. Their supervisors that they did not help was probably talking about Nehemiah, or rather, more precisely, those people that Nehemiah had appointed as supervisors didn't get any help from the nobles, and Nehemiah makes note of that, takes note of the shirkers. We go now to Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 6 through 7. Joiada, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah, repaired the old gate. Now, the old gate is sometimes called the corner gate. If we will look at our maps above, the old gate, or the corner gate, is at the northwestern corner of the wall. So now we're going to start going south as we pass the old gate, or the corner gate. So these gentlemen built the corner gate with beams and installed its doors, bolts, and bars. 7. Next to them, repairs were done by Melatiah the Gibeonite. Now we're going south now, straight south. Jadon the Meronothite and the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, who were under the authority of the governor of the region west of the Euphrates River. Now Gibeon and Mizpah, of course, are famous cities right north of Jerusalem. Gibeon was Saul's hometown. Mizpah, Samuel did a lot of stuff at Mizpah, if you recall, 4 or 5 miles north of Jerusalem. So these men working on the western wall, These men were under the authority of the governor of the region west of the Euphrates River. That was probably the Persian governor who was there before Nehemiah arrived. Remember, Israel is under Persian authority. There's a hierarchy. They were self-governing, the Israelites were, but they were under the governor of the province west of the Euphrates, it was called. That would include Syria, Aram, Syria, Phoenicia, present-day Lebanon, and then Ammon, east of the Jordan River, and then Moab, east of the Dead Sea. All those areas were under a Persian authority, and so Nehemiah mentions that these people here were also under Persian authority. We go down to Nehemiah 3:8. After him, let me stop right there. After him makes no sense. This is the Holman Christian Study Bible translation. After him makes no sense because a ton of folks have just mentioned in verse 7, there's no one him. But the God's Word translation has next to them, as does the Bible in Basic English, so we'll go with that. Next to them, Uzziel, son of Harea, the goldsmith, made repairs, and next to him, Hananiah, son of the perfumer, made repairs. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. So now we have some tradespeople helping out. The nobles didn't. Of Tekoa didn't help, but now we've got some middle-class craftsmen working on the wall. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Well, let's start with the broad wall. I look at my two maps. Bible History Online doesn't even list it, but Michael Sanders has the broad wall going north to south on the western wall, starting just south of the corner gate or the old gate that we just talked about. So that's what we're going to go with. It would be the wall that looks down on the Hinnom Valley. The Valley of Hinnom runs north and south along the western wall of Jerusalem, and then it bends and goes under the southern edge of Jerusalem. And the broad wall is right. If you were on top of the broad wall looking west, you would be looking down into the Hinnom Valley. Now, the Holman Christian Study Bible has Nehemiah 3:8, the last part, translated this way. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Well, there is a bodacious translation problem here, giving rise to five different interpretations as to exactly what this meant. I'm getting these five interpretations from the Cambridge Commentary. Interpretation number one, the Jews had no need to repair the broad wall. In other words, they restored Jerusalem, which is kind of problematic. What does it mean to restore Jerusalem? Well, the houses, the walls, let's just say it's the walls as far as the broad wall, and then they stopped because the broad wall was still standing. The Babylonians had not knocked it down in 586. So here's some history of this wall. Uzziah, who ruled in 767, 740, a long time ago, he had repaired the wall, according to this theory, as John Gill mentions this. And John Gill says the wall had stood firm all the way to 444 B.C. in the times of Nehemiah. The Babylonians found it difficult to demolish and had left it standing. Now, how do we know Uzziah had repaired it? Well, we look at 2 Chronicles 26:9. Uzziah, who ruled from 767 to 740, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate. That's the old gate we just talked about, at the corner gate. The valley gate, I don't know where that is, and the corner buttress, and he fortified them. Well, why was Uzziah rebuilding the wall, the broad wall there, the western wall? Why? Well, because King Jehoash of Israel had broken the wall down fighting Amaziah of Judah, the southern kingdom. We read that in 2 Chronicles 25:23. King Jehoash, he ruled from 798 to 782 of Israel. This is before Uzziah's time now. King Jehoash of Israel captured Judah's king Amaziah, who ruled from 796 to 767. So we're in the early 8th century B.C. Amaziah got captured. Then Jehoash, the northern king, took Amaziah to Jerusalem and broke down 200 yards of Jerusalem's wall from the Ephraim gate, I don't know where that is, to the corner gate. That's the gate we talked about on the corner. Well, that makes sense. The wall had been torn down by Jehoash of Israel, been rebuilt by Uzziah of Judah, and had been left standing by the Babylonians as they tore the rest of the city down. That's interpretation number one. Interpretation number two, Babylonia in 586 left this portion of the wall untouched, which is very similar to interpretation number one. Interpretation number three, the Jews carried on the fortification at some distance from the dwelling places of Jerusalem. In other words, the builders left a space between the houses of the city and the wall. Now, the Holman Christian Study Bible translation doesn't make it sound that way. It says they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall, but God's Word translation says this: they left out part of Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. In other words, it sounds like they left out a space between the broad wall and the cities and the houses in the city. Interpretation number four: the Jews had abandoned Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. The inhabited quarter didn't extend as far as the inhabited quarter had extended under the monarchy. That's very similar to the third interpretation. Third interpretation says the builders just built the walls further out from the city. The fourth interpretation says that the wall was built and then the people of Jerusalem abandoned places near the wall. Interpretation number five: the builders left a portion of Jerusalem outside of the broad wall, not a blank area on the inside, but on the outside. Well, it's not a blank area on the outside. It was houses on the outside of the broad wall, according to that interpretation. So you see total confusion as to what happened there. We go down to Nehemiah 3, verses 9 through 10. Oh, well, let me back up a minute. It mentions here in verse 8 that Hananiah, the son of the perfumer, was making repairs on the wall. And you might ask, as I ask myself, what is a perfumer doing in Israel? What is that? Well, here's some examples of products a perfumer might make. This is from Adam Clark. He could make drugs for sick people. He could make perfumes for the women. He could make spices, including spices for embalming dead bodies, or maybe spices to eat or to put on your food. He could be making incense for the temple service, for the golden altar of incense and so forth. So a perfumer was very much needed there. He was not just making perfume for noble ladies. We go down to Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Next to them, the previous batch of people. Next to them, Raphaiah, son of Hur, ruler over half the district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Well, remember, the city was possessed by two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The boundary line went right through the middle of the city. So Jerusalem had two governors, as Gill and Clark say. So that's why Raphaiah is only ruling half the district of Jerusalem. I'm not sure he had the half that belonged to Judah or the half that belonged to Benjamin. I'm not sure. Verse 10, we read this: after them, the last batch of people, Jedaiah, son of Harumaph, made repairs across from his house. So the King James has over against his house. The house was built into the wall. And, of course, that gave the repairman there a great incentive to take care, because the wall was not only a part of the wall, it was also the back wall of a house. Next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabniah, made repairs. This guy is unknown, but he's got a great name, does he not? His father does, the son of Hashabniah. We go down to Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 11. Malchijah, son of Harim, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, made repairs to another section, as well as to the Tower of the Ovens. Now, I've already told you the Tower of the Ovens could either be at the northwestern corner, somewhere up there, or it is at the southwestern corner. We know about Malchijah and Hashub, the gentlemen that are mentioned here. Their fathers had come over with Zerubbabel in 538 B.C. We read their names in Ezra 2, verses 6 and 32. We go to Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 12. Beside him, beside Hashub, I guess. Of course, there's the him again. God's Word translation has them, which makes more sense to me. Shalom, son of Halohesh, ruler over half the district of Jerusalem, that's the other half, made repairs, he and his daughters. Now, interestingly, here we got daughters working on the wall. Well, I don't think they worked directly on the wall. That's sort of rough work for daughters in the time of, I know in modern America, in our feminist America, we got women doing anything. They're slinging mud and hauling bricks up to the wall. They're doing everything just like men can do, you know. I mean, men can have babies now, so why can't women work on the walls? But that's unlikely. As Gill and Jameson Fawcett Brown say, these daughters were probably rich widows and heiresses who hired men to build for them, because Shalom probably didn't have any sons. He only had daughters. That's a good speculation. We go down to Nehemiah 3, verse 13. Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and installed its doors, bolts, and bars, and repaired 500 yards of the wall to the dung gate. Now, the valley gate is the gate through which Nehemiah first went on his night inspection, as we read in the last chapter of Nehemiah. It was at the southwest corner of the wall, on an angled portion of the wall, according to both of my maps. Now we're at the southern wall. We're still going clockwise. And if you go due east along the southern wall, you get to the southeast corner of the southern wall. And that is where the Dung Gate is. That's the second gate that Nehemiah visited on his night inspection. It was called the Dung Gate because that's where a sewer ran through that gate. And poop was carried through the Dung Gate past the Kidron Valley there until we get to the Hinnom Valley on the south of the city of David, Mount Zion. Now, this Zenoah, who repaired the valley gate back at the southwestern corner, he was from the tribe of Judah, we read in Joshua 15. We go now to Nehemiah 3, verse 14. Malchijah, son of Rechab, R-E-C-H-A-B, Rechab is how I'm going to pronounce that, ruler over the district of Beth-Hakerem, repaired the Dung Gate. He rebuilt it and installed its doors, bolts, and bars. Now, Rechab is an interesting man because the Rechabites were actually forbidden by Jeremiah to build houses. Jeremiah, of course, was back before the Babylonian captivity. In Jeremiah 35:7, we read this, "You must not build a house, or sow seed, or plant a vineyard. These things are not for you." This is Jeremiah talking to the Rechabites. "Rather, you must live in tents your whole life, so you may live a long time on the soil where you stay as a temporary resident." Well, they couldn't build houses, but that didn't mean they couldn't build walls for public security, as John Gill says. And so they helped. And when it says Malchijah, son of Rechab, that means descendant of Rechab. Doesn't necessarily mean the first generation descendant. Now, this Malchijah, descendant of Rechab, was the ruler over the district of Beth-Hakerem. That was a place between Tekoa and Jerusalem. If we look at our map here, we see about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, well, actually about 2 miles south of Jerusalem is Beth-Hakerem on the road to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is another 2 or 3 miles further south. So it was between Bethlehem and Jerusalem to the south that this Malchijah ruled. He had the nice job of repairing the poop gate, the dung gate. Jeremiah had mentioned this Beth-Hakerem. He's preaching doom and gloom about the Babylonians coming from the north. He says, "Run for cover." This is Jeremiah 6, verse 1. "Run for cover, Benjaminites out of Jerusalem. Sound the ram's horn in Tekoa." Raise, now Tekoa is a little bit further south of Beth-Hakerem. But then Jeremiah says, "Raise a smoke signal over Beth-Hakerem, for disaster threatens from the north." Remember, the Babylonians were coming from the north, as enemies of Israel always did. So Beth-Hakerem gets an honorable mention here. We go now to Nehemiah 3, verse 15. "Shallan, son of Kolhoze, ruler over the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate." Now, where is the fountain gate? Well, if we look at our maps, the Dung Gate was at the extreme southeastern corner of the wall. If you go up just a hop, skip, and a jump, walk a few paces, and you will get to the fountain gate. Between the Dung Gate and the fountain gate, on the interior of the wall, you will find the famous Pool of Siloam, or the lower pool. It might be two different pools, might be the same pool. I'm not sure which. I don't think the sources are clear either. But that famous Pool of Siloam, remember where Jesus sent somebody there to get healed? It's the same pool there. It's right inside the wall, and then right to the north of this pool or these pools is the fountain gate, right at the tip of the city of David, Mount Zion. So Shallan was ruler over Mizpah. There's lots of Mizpahs in the New Testament. This is the one in Benjamin, I'm sure, which is right north of Jerusalem, about 10 miles or so. The famous Mizpah where Samuel did a lot of his ministry. Now this Shallan, S-H-A-L-L-U-N, I'm sure I'm pronouncing it not properly, he also made repairs to the wall of the Pool of Shelah. Now the Pool of Shelah is translated in the KJV and Young's Literal Translation as Siloah. It's the famous Pool of Siloam that I just finished telling you about. At least it probably is. Adam Clark says it's probably the same pool. I assume it is. The Darby translation has a note that actually says it's Siloam, and Darby cites John 9:7, which says this, "Go," Jesus told him, "wash in the Pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he, the sick guy, left, washed, and came back seeing. The blind guy came back seeing. So this is a famous pool here. The fountain gate's right outside. So the wall is being fixed there near the king's garden that was inside the wall near the Pool of Siloam, right at the southern tip of Mount Zion, right before you went down into the valley there. And he repaired as far as the stairs that descend from the city of David. Again, these stairs are kind of famous. This is the same stairs that Zedekiah tried to escape from Jerusalem when the Babylonians came. We talked about that when we were at that place. My map has the stairs right at the tip of the city of David, Mount Zion, running down into the valley right to the north of the Fountain Gate, right into the Kidron Valley the stairs descended into. Now, Shallan rebuilt the Fountain Gate and roofed the Fountain Gate. That's not mentioned about any other gate that the roof was built. John Gill speculates it was roofed perhaps because of the fountain that was there. I guess you put a roof over the fountain. Remember, you got an outer wall, a gate at the outer wall, and a gate at the inner wall that leaves space between those two gates to put a roof over. We go now to Nehemiah 3:16. After him, the him being Shallan, who had just rebuilt the wall around the Pool of Siloam. After him, Nehemiah, son of Azbuk, ruler over half the district of Beth-Zur, made repairs up to a point opposite the tombs of David as far as the artificial pool and the house of the warriors. The tombs of David or the sepulchres of David, if we'll look at the maps above, we will see they are just right at the southern tip of Mount Zion there between the Tyre Pion and the Kidron Valley, right north of the Fountain Gate. So the wall was repaired, of course, opposite to those tombs of David. Tombs of David are just used for a reference point. These tombs of David, incidentally, were untouched by the Babylonians, as John Gill says, and they remained untouched for many ages afterwards. We read in Acts 2:29, "Brothers," this is Peter's Pentecostal sermon, "brothers, I can confidently speak to you about the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Now, that was in Peter's day, but 2,000 years later, in our day, a tourist guide will take you to the tombs of David, because I've been there. But the current tourist site is not the site of the original tombs of David, as Wikipedia points out, saying this, quote, "Historians, archaeologists, and Jewish religious authorities do not consider the site to be the actual resting place of King David." So Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, is repairing the walls across from the tombs as we move north up the Kidron Valley. This Nehemiah was ruler over half the district of Beth-Zur. Beth-Zur was a strong fortified place in the tribe of Judah somewhere, as we read in Joshua. He went up north as far as the artificial pool, or at least that's the southernmost point of the wall that he was fixing, the artificial pool, I'm assuming, is the Pool of Siloam, the pool that was made to collect the waters from the Gihon Spring outside the walls on the side of the Kidron Valley. That pool, of course, which was fed by Hezekiah. Hezekiah's tunnel was fed by the aqueduct that went through Hezekiah's tunnel as the pool of Gihon fell. The spring of Gihon filled the Pool of Siloam. Originally, the waters at the spring of Gihon just collected in a pool, and that was called the upper pool. So they ran an aqueduct from the upper pool down to the lower end of the southern end of the city of David and put it in a pool, and that pool was called the lower pool, which I think is the same as the Pool of Siloam. Some maps have it separated out. Again, this Nehemiah, of course, this is not our Nehemiah, the cupbearer. This is a different Nehemiah. He works as far up to the house of the warriors. That was probably, as John Gill says, a garrison of soldiers in former times for defense, otherwise not known. We go to Nehemiah 3:17-19, next to him, and that would be next to Nehemiah, son of Azbuk. Next to him, the Levites made repairs under Rehum, son of Bani. Beside him, Hashabiah, ruler over half the district of Keilah, made repairs for his district. After him, their fellow Levites. Well, let me stop right there in verse 17. This Hashabiah ruled half the district of Keilah. Keilah was a city in the tribe of Judah. Apparently, there were two rulers of Keilah. Verse 18, after him, after Hashabiah, their fellow Levites made repairs under Binui, son of Henadad, ruled over half the district of Keilah. That's the other half of the district of Keilah. Verse 19, next to him, Ezer, son of Jeshua, ruler over Mizpah, made repairs to another section opposite the ascent to the armory at the angle. All right, we're still moving up the Kidron Valley on the eastern side of the wall, on the valley side of the wall. And somewhere along there, before we get to the Ophel at the northern edge of the city of David, we run into something called the armory at the angle. John Gill says that perhaps this armory at the angle was referred to in the Song of Solomon in chapter 4, verse 4. Solomon speaking of his beloved, "Your neck is like the Tower of David, constructed in layers. 1,000 bucklers are hung on it, all of them shields of warriors." I just really think that's strange, comparing your girlfriend's neck or your wife's neck to a military tower that has a lot of shields hung on it. But Solomon liked towers. He was a king. He liked military might. Well, the angle that's mentioned there, some people speculate, is where the wall projected in a point, kind of, instead of going straight north, it kind of angled maybe a little bit to the northeast, then came back to the northwest, made an angle there. And maybe there was a tower there at that angle where the two walls met at the angle. The city arsenal, Adam Clark said, was probably kept there with shields and spears and so forth. Now, let me read you a site from www.biblicaltraining.org. Quote, "At Nehemiah's refortification in 444 BC, that's where we are now, the angle extended southward along the eastern edge of ancient Mount Zion from a point above the Gihon Spring, that's where we were, through 8 sections of construction to the armory. 3 centuries before, Uzziah had erected a tower at this point. Since the ramparts seem here to have run relatively straight, the angle may refer to some interior structure that paralleled or abutted upon the wall." In other words, the angle is not of the wall, as I just said, but according to this view, it's an angle inside the wall. Again, nobody knows. All of this is speculation. But go to Nehemiah 3, verse 20. "After him, after Ezer, the son of Jeshua, who had made repairs at that angle of the armory there, in Nehemiah 3:20, we read, "After him, that Ezer, Baruch, son of Zabai, diligently repaired another section from the angle to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest." Eliashib is the high priest. He's the grandson of the first high priest for the exiles, namely Jeshua, also known as Joshua. Now, he has a house there. Makes sense now, because we're near the Moriah there, the northeastern corner, and the temple's there, the rebuilt temple. Naturally, he would have a house nearby, and it's in the wall, possibly. On the wall. I say on the wall, what I mean is backed up against the wall being a part of his house. We go down to Nehemiah 3, verses 21 through 24. "Beside him, beside Eliashib, Merimoth, son of Uriah." Now, we've heard of him before. This is the second section he worked on. In verse 4, we saw that he was making repairs on the north wall right west of the fish gate. He was the same Merimoth who counted a bunch of money, gold and silver utensils that Ezra had brought to the temple in 458. He was apparently an important guy, and people of importance have greater responsibilities, and so he made repairs to 2 sections of the house. He made repairs from the door of Eliashib's house to the end of his house. Whoa, one house? This guy has got to repair the wall from one end of a house to the door of a house. It must have been a big house. And it was, because Eliashib was the high priest. Verse 22, "And next to him, next to Merimoth, the priest from the surrounding area made repairs." The surrounding area probably refers to the plain, as the KJV has it, around Jerusalem, where some of the priests were living. We know that the Nethinim, who were, well, actually not the Nethinim, but some of the Levites, were in this area around Jerusalem on the outside. We read in Nehemiah 12:28, "The singers," and Levites usually sang, "the singers gathered from the region around Jerusalem from the village of the Netophathites." So Nehemiah has some help with surrounding priests and Levites to help build the priestly section of the wall as we approach the northeast corner of the wall. Now in verse 23, we read this, "After them, Benjamin and Hashub made repairs opposite their house. Beside them, Azariah, son of Maaseiah, son of Ananiah, made repairs beside his house." Naturally, you're going to fix the wall if it's part of your house. You're going to do a good job there for sure. Makes sense to make homeowners fix the wall that their house abuts to. Verse 24, "After him," that's after Azariah, whose house is just mentioned in verse 24. Verse 25, "After him, Binui, son of Hanadad, made repairs to another section from the house of Azariah to the angle in the corner." All right, so some private people are building sections of the wall. I just mentioned that a part of the wall under Elisha's house was near the temple. Actually, Elisha's house might have been further south there, north of this angle, the military angle that we've just talked about, where the armory was as we're going up, heading to Mount Moriah. We have some private houses being built there. Well, we have Elisha's house on the wall there, right on the eastern wall, on the Kidron Valley, south of Mount Moriah. And then you go north of there and you have these private individuals as we go from the angle and the corner. Again, that's probably that same angle I just talked about, whether it was interior or exterior to the wall. We don't know where the armory was. And now we're going to get up to Mount Moriah, north of all this. Now, this angle, the way I'm looking at it, is a bend in the wall near Ophel. Ophel is the fortification or wall that was between Mount Moriah at the north and the city of David, Mount Zion, on the south. Kylan Delitzsch says the wall could have bent there, and that's the angle that's being talked about. But Gill says, no, it's at the southeast corner of the wall. And Ellicott says, no, it's at the northeast corner of the wall, which shows that nobody really knows. We go down to Nehemiah 3:25. Palal, son of Uzai, made repairs opposite the angle and tower that juts out from the upper palace of the king. So now we got the king's palace somewhere near Eliashib's house by the courtyard of the guard. The palace of the king was by the courtyard of the guard. Now this upper palace is called upper because it was built high for the view, probably the view over the Kidron Valley. It was probably built Solomon's palace, but it had been burnt down by the Babylonians, of course, in 586. And Cambridge Commentary says that this building referred to by Nehemiah here in verse 25, chapter 3, this building erected upon the site of the old palace of the kings of Judah, it was. I suspect they've already rebuilt this palace. By the time that Nehemiah shows up in Jerusalem, the exiles had already taken care of that. Again, this is somewhere south of the Temple Mount, or south of the temple. Maybe it's already up at Mount Moriah, but it's somewhere south of the temple. The location is actually disputed, as Kylan Delitzsch say. The Cambridge commentator says that the upper palace of the king, quote, stood apparently on the Ophel summit immediately south of the temple precincts, which is what I just said. So we're getting past the palace. Now we've gotten Eliashib, the high priest house. Now we've got the king's palace, the wall around that taken care of. The courtyard of the guard would be attached to the palace. Courtyard of the guard is another fancy way of saying a prison. The courtyard of the prison inside the wall there. As John Gill says, Jeremiah often speaks of the prison being in or near the king's house. We read in Jeremiah 32:2, at that time the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was imprisoned in the guard's courtyard in the palace of the king of Judah. So wherever it was close to the palace. We go down to Nehemiah 3:26, and the temple servants, those are the Nethinim, they were the assistants of the Levites, and the Levites were the assistants of the priest. And the temple servants living on Ophel, remember Ophel is the wall of the fortification that separates Mount Moriah from the city of David, Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the California-shaped piece of land that runs down between the Tyrrhenian Valley on the west and the Kidron Valley on the east. And then you go up that little ridge of land, Mount Zion, and you hit Ophel, and then north of Ophel is Mount Moriah where the temple was. So the temple servants, the Nethinim, living on Ophel, made repairs opposite the water gate toward the east in the tower that juts out. Now the water gate opened up to the pool of Gihon. That's a little bit, maybe halfway up the Kidron Valley. It's appropriate that the Nethinim were there because they would have to carry water to the temple, as John Gill says. So basically what we've just talked about is rebuilding the wall, the east wall, on the Kidron Valley. We haven't gone strictly from south to north, but just in that area, the king's palace, the armory, the water gate, all of this is leading up to Mount Moriah. We go now to Nehemiah 3:27. Next to him, that's next to Padaiah, son of Parash, who's mentioned in verse 25 as helping the Nethinim make repairs opposite the water gate. After Padaiah, the Tekoites made repairs to another section from a point opposite the great tower that juts out as far as the wall of Ophel. I'm assuming we're still south of Ophel. We're still east of the city of David, Mount Zion. The Tekoites are from Tekoa, Amos's hometown. They've already finished another section of the wall in verse 5 of this chapter. They made repairs, the Tekoites did, but their nobles did not lift a finger to help their supervisors. This was next to the fish gate on the northern wall, so they're working on the eastern wall as well. This great tower that juts out as far as the wall of Ophel, I don't know that it's the same one that we've already talked about in verse 26. The tower that juts out, it's called, near the water gate. I'm assuming that all of that is near the angle, near the armory, the tower that juts out. Again, this is all speculative. I'm assuming that there's a bend in the wall, a projection in the wall that some maps show. It's all speculation. Nehemiah 3:28. Each of the priests made repairs above the horse gate, each opposite his own house. Now, the Horse Gate is right where Ophel meets Mount Moriah. At the southeast corner of Mount Moriah is the Horse Gate. Why was it called that? Because probably it was near stables in which horses were kept, as John Gill suggests. Or another suggestion that Gill and Clark made, horses were led through the gate to be watered at the Brook of Kidron, the Kidron Valley, or maybe exercised in the valley. So that's the Horse Gate. And the priest had houses along the wall there, each opposite his own house. They built their responsibilities for the wall. Again, fixing their own houses. And again, we're getting up toward Mount Moriah where the temple is. It makes sense that the priest would live nearby. Verse 29, Nehemiah 3, after them, after these priests working near the Horse Gate, Zadok, son of Immer, made repairs opposite his house. And besides him, Shemaiah, son of Shechaniah, guard of the East Gate, made repairs. So again, some more private individuals working on the walls. Now, we're up on the Temple Mount now. The East Gate, I'm going to assume, is the East Gate of the Temple, not a gate in the wall, but the East Gate of the Temple. John Gill says that, and the Cambridge Commentator says that. Some people say it's the same as the Water Gate, which is a little bit further south across from the Gihon Spring. But here's some reasons why the East Gate is not likely to be the Water Gate. The East Gate had a guard, because it says that in verse 29, Nehemiah 3, that Shechaniah is a guard of the East Gate. Now, the walls have been burnt down since 586 BC when the Babylonians burnt the walls down, so there's no way a wall gate would have a guard now at this point. So it must have been the East Gate of the Temple Courtyard. And likewise, the Cambridge Commentary says that it's unlikely that the same gate should have two names without a word of explanation. The East Gate and the Water Gate? No, this is the East Gate of the Temple, I am fairly sure. I note that my two maps that I'm using, both of those two maps exclude mention of an East Gate. There is no East Gate in the wall. So we're up on the Temple Gate, on the Temple Mount, and even the East Gate of the Temple, that would be the gate of the courtyard that leads to the temple, is being repaired. We go down to Nehemiah 3, verses 30 and 31. Next to him, that would be Shemaiah, who is the guard of the East Gate. I just said something wrong. I said the East Gate was being repaired. No, Shemaiah was the guard of the East Gate. He made repairs to the wall, not to the East Gate of the temple. So next to Shemaiah, we have Hananiah in verse 30, son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph. They made repairs to another section. Now, Zalaph had six sons at least, because Hanan, the sixth son, was working. The oldest five sons are not mentioned as having done any work. They might have been dead or they might have been lazy, John Gill speculates. But even if they were, the sixth son did some work, and so he gets credit. After Hanan and Hananiah, after them, Meshulam, son of Berechiah, made repairs opposite his room. Again, private individuals fixing their own house up at the same time as they fixed the wall. Verse 31, next to him, next to Meshulam, is Malchijah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs to the house of the temple servants and the merchants. Temple servants are the Nethinim. They're the people who help the Levites. And the Levites, of course, help the priests. So we're talking about temple servants. So this is where we are. They're living. Their houses are along the wall there. And their houses are being repaired at the same time repairing the wall. And the merchants opposite the inspection gate. Now, that's the Holman Christian Study Bible translation inspection gate. My two maps have it as Muster Gate, as some other translations have, I believe. Now, my maps differ a little bit. One has it at the northeast corner on the north wall. The other map has it at the northeast corner on the east wall, but it's up there somewhere at the northeast corner. Muster Gate or Inspection Gate, I assume that means because soldiers were inspected there as they were mustered ready for battle to go out of the gate there to do their duty. And so the repairs were done, and verse 31, as far as the upper room of the corner. Now, that shows up on one of my maps up there, the upper room of the corner. I have no idea what that room was used for. We go now to Nehemiah 3, verse 32, and thankfully we'll be finished with this chapter. The goldsmiths and merchants made repairs between the upper room of the corner, that's at the very northeast corner of the wall, and the sheep gate. The sheep gate is right around the corner as you go west down the wall a little bit and you get to the sheep gate. Now, the sheep gate is where we started this exercise of going around in a clockwise fashion, looking at the repairs of the temple wall. We saw in verse 1 of this chapter, chapter 3, Eliashib the high priest and his fellow priests began rebuilding the sheep gate. So we're finished. The rebuilding took a total of 52 days, as we read in Nehemiah 6:15. The wall was completed in 52 days on the 25th day of the month Elul. In my humble opinion, that's a fairly short period of time. Many hands make light work. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finished with Nehemiah 3. Next audio, we'll go to Nehemiah 4, verses 1 through 23, and we will look at opposition to the work. I hope you stay tuned for that, and I hope you enjoyed this audio.